Start the recording.
Shavua Tov. Today's daf is daf Kuf Chav Zayin, 127. We're going to pick up with the Gemara, 6 lines from the bottom on Kuf Chav Vav on the base. So our Mishnah was talking about the fact that that you can move on Shabbos if for the need of a mitzvah, which is hosting guests or an area where people are going to learn. You can move things. We saw from the Mishnah that it described only things that are not muksa, and the purpose, the Mishnah is really discussing that, midrabanan, there's a gzera that we shouldn't overexert, you shouldn't do too much work on Shabbos. So therefore they said you shouldn't carry heavy things, but our Mishnah is saying as long as these things are not muksa, and the Mishnah gave a list of things that are muksa versus not muksa, as long as you can do that, it said, you can move, you can clear out, this is how our Mishnah said, even 4 or 5 boxes of Tevin or Tfua, but it said, but not an Otzer. An Otzer is like a storage place. So we're going to see exactly what these words mean. So says the Gemara, picking up 6 lines up, Hashta Chamesh Mefanin Arba Mibai. So the Gemara says, what kind of language is this that the Mishnah says that you can clear away even 4 or 5 boxes? So if you can clear away 4, then you obviously could clear away 5. I'm sorry, if you can clear away 5, you can obviously clear away 4. So why not just say you can clear 5 boxes? What was the point of saying you can clear 4 or 5 boxes? That's a strange lashon. So the Gemara says, Amrav Chista, Arba Mechamesh. It means 4 out of 5, which the idea here would be that the way Rashi learns at least, is that if you have a small storehouse, meaning one that only has 5 boxes, you can clear out 4 of the 5. The Rabben Chanano, which is really on Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, talks about the fact that this is will tie into other things. We talk about the size of a minimum area that's set aside is this idea of 5 boxes. So the idea, if there's 5 boxes there, you can move 4 of them. Why can't you move all 5? And then the idea would be if it's a bigger area, you could move all 5. So the question is, why, if it's a small area and only has 5 boxes, you can only do 4 out of 5? Is Rashi learns is because, the concern is if you clear out all 5 boxes, so now you're going to have an open space and it's possible that there will be indentations or holes in the ground, and therefore, now that those holes have been revealed by the removal of the boxes, someone's going to come to smooth them out, and that's going to be an isser of binyan, that's building. So therefore, we allow you, according to Rav Chista, you can take 4 out of 5, but you can't take the last box out of the area. So it says, so you could do 4 out of 5 if there's only 5 there. But if you have a larger, storage area that has more than 5 boxes, then you could take up to 5. 5 is the maximum number of boxes that you could take. So the Mishnah continued after that, and it said, you can do 4 or 5, and it said, but not from an otzer, not from a storage place. So the issue is as follows, that according to Rav Chista, so normally you would say avalos ha'otzer, but not ha'otzer, meaning you can't clear it out in its totality. But that's how we would normally learn it, but we've already determined that you can only take 4 out of 5. So that told you that you can't clear out an otzer, you can't clear out an entire storage area. So then how should we then, according to Rav Chista, understand the next phrase in the Mishnah, which says that you should not take clear out an otzer, a storage area? So the Gemara says, shelo yaschil ba'otzer tchila. We already learned you cannot clear out an entire storage area. You could take out 4 if there's 5 boxes, or you could take out 5 if there's more. And now we're introducing a new concept according to Rav Chista, which is that if you have an area that was set aside for storage of grain or whatever it is we're talking about here, so then, if you've been taking from that storage house, so it's clear before Shabbos that this is a storage house that you're using for grain that you're going to use on Shabbos. What do you do with grain on Shabbos? You can use it to feed your animals. But if you've never used this storage house, so then the concern would be that it's something that's set aside. You didn't have in mind to use it because it was a storage house and you have not yet started using it in any fashion. So therefore, the Mishnah is saying you should not take the first taking from a brand new storehouse on Shabbos, because the concern would be that it was set aside in your mind. You didn't actively necessarily intend to use it. So says the Gemara, Umani, who's the one who says that we worry about this? Rabbi Yehuda he, the Islay Mukso. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who has Mukso. Now, as we know, this is a reference to the series of disputes that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon have, where generally speaking, Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir with Mukso, which we refer to as Islay Mukso. He has a concept of Mukso. And Rabbi Shimon is lessly Mukso, technically means he doesn't have Mukso, but obviously, as we've discussed throughout this Masechta, it doesn't mean he doesn't have Mukso, but he has a looser definition of Mukso. So according to Rav Shimon's definition, if something is mutter to be used, for example, this grain is mutter to be used to feed your animals, it's not Mukso, because it has a valid Shabbos appropriate purpose. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that if you haven't actively established that you're going to use it, or had in mind to use it, or done something to demonstrate that you're going to use it, then it's an issue of Mukso. So, again, just to review, Rav Chisda, because he learned that the beginning of the Mishnah was telling you you can only take 4 out of 5 boxes, and therefore you can't clear out an entire Otzer, so when the Mishnah says, Avalos Otzer, it was coming to teach you a brand new halacha, not only can you not clear out a full Otzer, but you also can't start using a new Otzer on Shabbos, and that is consistent with Rabbi Yehuda's view of Mukso. Okay, Shmuel Amar, bottom line, Shmuel has a different answer for why the Mishnah, and again, the question we're dealing with is, if you're allowed to move 5 boxes, why did the Mishnah say 4? So the way Shmuel is going to explain it is, Arba v'chamesh k'damri enshi, v'yibayi afilu tuvanami mifanen. So he says, k'damri enshi, it's like people say, like, you know, give me a minute or two, or here, pick up 4 or 5 boxes. So Rashi says, cheshben katan tchila. He says, basically, take the small one first. If you need more, yifne yoser, then you'll clear out more. Mishum hachi naked dalad bereisha v'hadar chamisha. That's why it says 4 and then 5. V'hu adin afilu tuva. So the way Shmuel's learning, why did it say 4 or 5? Is to tell you that's just how people speak. It means take what you need. If you need 4, take 4. You need 5, you need 5. You need 10, take 10. It doesn't matter. So Shmuel's of the opinion that's why it says 4 or 5. It's just saying whatever you need. That's how people speak. And even if you need 10 or 20 or 100, that's fine. So says the Gemara, second line, Umay avalois ha'otzer. So according to him, what does it mean, not the storage house? So for this, we could use what we would have thought is the more typical explanation. Shelo yigmar kulo, that you shouldn't clear out an entire storage house. Because dilma asi ashve gumos. Because maybe you'll come to smooth things out. So therefore, he's able to understand the Avalos HaOtzer the way we would have otherwise understood it. Rav Chisda could not understand it that way because he understood that 4 out of 5 was already teaching you the halacha that you couldn't complete Otzer. But Shmuel says 4 out of 5 is just how people speak. So therefore, when it says Avalos HaOtzer, it's telling you another halacha similar to what Rav Chisda was saying in his understanding of the first part of the Mishnah, which is, we don't want to clear out an entire storehouse because we're concerned that once it's cleared out, you're going to see a hole in the floor and you're going to come to smooth it out. Okay, but therefore, because he understands Avalos HaOtzer to say you shouldn't complete the storehouse, so therefore, he does not have to learn it that you cannot start brand new on a storehouse. That was something Rav Chisda had to say, but Shmuel doesn't need to say it. So therefore, continues the Gemara, Avalos Chule Maschil, but he could start a new storehouse because there's nothing in our Mishnah that says he can't, because he's understanding Lois Otzer to say you just can't complete, you can't empty out an Otzer in its entirety. Umani, so who would that go like? Who says that you can start on a brand new storehouse even though you have not taken from it before? Reb Shimon, the Lesley Mukso, because Reb Shimon is of the opinion that if something is capable, if it has a Shabbos appropriate use, like feeding your animal, you can take from that storehouse, even if you didn't, you never used that, the produce in that storehouse before for feeding your animals, because he has a loose definition of mukso. If there's something that's mutter for use on Shabbos, and you didn't actively say, I'm not going to use it, or do something to demonstrate you're not going to use it, then it is not mukso, and therefore he could start on a storehouse. Okay? Tana Rabbanan, we're going to learn a brisa which is like the view of Rav Chisda, which says Ein maschilah ba'otzer tchila, that you don't start a fresh storehouse, meaning because you have not yet established it as a storehouse that you're using for feeding your animals, so therefore it's muktzah. Aval otso bo shvio kedei sheikanes v'yotze. But it says if you want to clear out some space in a storehouse, the way to do it is you can make a path in order that you go in and go out. So the Gemara says, wait a second, oso bo shvio. So you're saying you can make a pathway. You just finished saying that you can't start clearing out a storehouse if you've not used it before. So then if it says you could clear a pathway, then obviously it sounds like you're taking stuff out. So the Gemara says, no, hachi kamer, this is what it's saying. Osa bo shvio baraglav b'chnisaso b'tziaso. That you cannot clear things out of that storehouse because it's, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's muktzah. But what you can do, if you need some space in that storehouse, you can kind of walk between the bundles and push them with your body to the side. And that is an acceptable form, even if something is muktzah, like Rabbi Yehuda, because you're moving it with a different part of your body, not your hands, which is ordinarily how you would move muktzah. Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbanan learned, Tvua Tzevura Bizman if you have gathered together tvura, which means it's like a storehouse, and this, by the way, I referenced earlier, Rabbi Nechanano discusses, this is the same five boxes that is referenced in our Mishnah, but it's saying, if you have a gathering of tvura, so according to Rabbi Yehuda would understand that's gathered there, and it's not necessarily, hasn't been designated for feeding your animal. So we say as follows, Bizman shehischo ba me'er Shabbos, if you started using it already from Erev Shabbos to feed your animals or some other Shabbos purpose, mutter l'estapik mimena b'Shabbos, then you can use it on Shabbos. V'im lav, also estapik mimena b'Shabbos, then, and if not, you cannot use it on Shabbos because it would be muktzah, because if you never used it before Shabbos, so then it was set aside in your mind, you never designated it for Shabbos, so you can't use it. Now, we would expect this to be the halacha being Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is the one who has this concept of muktzah. But if we see the next words in the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, these are the words of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Acha Matir. And Rabbi Acha says it's mutter. So says the Gemara, Klape Laya. So which, toward what direction are you talking about? Meaning, this doesn't make any sense. That's an expression, although interestingly, it's often used. Here Rashi explains, he says, Kenegan Heichon Pona Hadavar. In what direction is this matter turning? And he says, Laya, he says, like, for example, he references the Gemara in Brachas, where it says, Chatzbi Lenara Kagni Lai. So, Laya. So that was talking about there in Brachas, it said that if you have whole pitchers, then you could take it to the river because you can use it at the river or trade it at the river. But if they're broken, Laya to where? So Klape Laya is what direction? Meaning this doesn't make any sense. Because why doesn't it make sense? Because Rav Shimon's always the one who holds that there is no concept of muktzah. And now we just said that if you didn't start using it before Shabbos, it's considered muktzah on Shabbos. That would normally be the opinion of Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Ela'ema divrei Rabbi Acha. So rather say that the beginning, which says that if you didn't use it before Shabbos, you cannot use it because it's muktzah because it hasn't been designated for use. That's going to be Rav Acha, Rabbi Shimon Matir. And Rav Shimon is the one who's matir. So now this fits the way we normally understand Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon is the one who does not have the concept of muktzah. Rav Shimon would say that as long as the tvua is mutter and to be used on Shabbos, even if you never started that storehouse, you can start using it on Shabbos. Tana, we learned, kamashir tvua tzvura. So we said that if you have a gathered bundle or pile of tvua, that's considered set aside, similar to a storage house. So Gemara says is lesech. So lesach we've encountered a number of times, which is, Rashi says, chatzi kor, it's a half a kor, which is 15 saw in a lesach. But, as Rashi says, avobatze mehachi lav otzerhu. But less than that is not a otzer. So therefore, even according to Rev Acha, who holds, like Rev Yehuda of Muktzah, if you had a storehouse and it only had, let's say, 10 saw in it, or 14 saw, it didn't have a full lesach, that's not considered a storehouse. So even though you've bundled it, we don't consider that a set-aside storehouse, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda would say, in that case, you can use it on Shabbos. And obviously, Rabbi Shimon, who holds even a larger one you could use, would hold that you could use it. Okay. Rav Nechumi Bar Zechariah asked Abaya, and Rashi, the way Rashi learned, if I recall correctly, he's saying this is a question according to Rav Chisda, who says you cannot carry. And all right, so we had this before. Rav Chisda is the one who says you could carry maximum of 5 boxes, and Shmuel said you could carry as many as you want. So the way Rashi understands, I don't know that everyone learns this way, but Rashi understands that this is a question according to Rav Chisda, who said you can only carry 5 boxes. So the question is as follows. Shir tvua tzvura bekamo. I jumped ahead here, but second we'll read through the Gemara. By Minerva Nchun Bar Zechariah Me'abaya, Shir Tvua Tzvura Bekama, how much is the shear of a gathered pile of produce? Amr Lei, Hare Amru Shir Tvura Tzvura Lesach. They said that a shear of a gathered Tvua is Lesach. So that's the same as we learned before. And now we're going to start the part that's a question according to Rav Chisda. Ibai Lehu. So they asked the question. When Rav Chisda said you could carry maximum of 5 boxes, so the question is, Hani Arba V'Chamish Kupas Dekamar, Ba'Arba V'Chamish Kupas in Tvei Lo, was this literal, saying, look, you could take all 5 boxes worth, but you have to do it in those 5 boxes, meaning you have 5 opportunities to carry stuff, and these boxes are full, so you could take the full boxes, but if you were to split one in half and make it into 2 boxes, you're limited to carrying it to 5. So if that would be the halacha, so then the point would be, amalamiyuta behilucha adif. So the Gemara is saying, so then that would stand for the proposition that when Rabbanan wanted to limit the degree to which you exert yourself on Shabbos, that what they considered real exertion was, the more trips you take is too much exertion. So therefore, you can carry 5 trips. We let you carry 5 big boxes that are full. We're not so much worried about how much they weigh. We're worried about how many trips you take. So therefore, you have 5 trips to take. If you want to take full boxes, you're welcome. If you want to take half boxes, you're welcome. But you would only be able to take total 5 trips. So if you take half boxes, you only get 2.5 boxes worth out instead of 5. Odoma, or maybe, when they say you could carry 5 boxes, it doesn't mean 5 boxes literally, but it means 5 boxes worth of tvua. So limiute masoi adif. Maybe it's better to limit the degree of difficulty in carrying it, the exertion you're going to have. So therefore, the way we would understand this is saying Chazal didn't want people to overexert themselves. So they said you can take 5 big boxes worth of tvua out. If you want to take them in 5 boxes, that's good. That's your choice. But we also like the idea that people shouldn't schlep heavy boxes. So if you want to separate it into 5 or 10 or 20 boxes and you'll carry it multiple times, then maybe that's okay. So the question is, when the Chazal were worried about exertion, were they worried about how many trips you take and they limited it to 5? Or are they worried about how much is the maximum you could carry? But if you wanted to carry less, Chazal were happy with that because it seemed like less exertion and therefore you could take more trips. So can you take, so that's the Gemara's question. So it says the Gemara, Tashma. So I'll try to bring you a raya from the following. The Tani Chada, we learned one brisa that says, Mifanin afilu arba v'chamish kupa shakade shevim shakade yayin, that you could move out, you could clear out of a storage house even 4 or 5 boxes that are filled with pitchers of oil or pitchers of wine, right? So that's one brisa. V'tanya idach, and we learned another brisa that says that you could take those, the kade shemen or kade yayin, the pitchers of wine or oil, be'eser v'chamish esrei, with 10 or 15. So says the Gemara, I have 2 conflicting brises. One says you make 5 trips, and one says you can make 10 or 15 trips. So the Gemara says, my lab, v'hal kam lifugi. So maybe I would assume that these brises are arguing one with the other, and it depends on this very point that we were asking about. The mar savar miyute behilucha adif. One says better to take as few trips as possible. So you could take 5 trips worth, but you can only take 5. And you have to fill up those boxes, and that's your choice, is 5 trips. Mar Savar, one says, Mutab Masai Adif, and the other one would say, no, Chazal just didn't want us to carry more than 5 boxes worth. But if you wanted to carry it in 10 or 15 trips, that brisa says it's okay. So maybe we've found 2 conflicting brisas, and this is the very point of difference between them. One says, everyone agrees you could take 5 boxes worth. The question is, do you do it in 5 trips, or do you do it in 10 or 15 trips? So it seems to be a machlokas. So So the Gemara says, lo, not necessarily are those brises. Maybe the kuliyama miyute behilucha adif. Maybe everyone says that really ideally you should take just, you should take as few trips as possible. So you should just take 5 trips. And yet these brises are not arguing. Cause umi savre be'esher v'chamesh esrei akupas kai, you assumed that when the second brisa said that you could take 10 or 15, it meant that you could take 10 or 15 boxes, which would be consistent with the idea that you should limit the weight of each trip, but we let you take as many trips as you want because that's less exertion. You assume that, but no, says the Gemara, Akadin Kai. When it says 10 or 15, it was not talking about 10 or 15 boxes, it was talking about 10 or 15 pitchers. So Velo Kasha, there's no Kasha. One brisa says you could take 5 pitchers in boxes, and one says you could take 10 or 15. But those are not actually in conflict, says the Gemara. Hadim ishtakli chad chad bakupo, vahadim ishtakli trey trey, vahadim ishtakli tilsa tilsa. So he says, the difference between these brises, everyone's on the same page. The question is, how big were these pitchers? So the first brisa, which says you could take 5 trips, was talking about 5 pitchers, where each pitcher, or barrel, or whatever it was, filled 1 box. So therefore, you could take 5 boxes, because there were 5 big pitchers. The second brisa, which said 10 or 15, when it said 10, it was referencing 10 pitchers, but these were smaller sized pitchers where they fit 2 pitchers to a box. So therefore, you could take 10 pitchers, but you're still, because 2 fit to a box, you're still only taking 5 boxes. And the second half of the second brisa, which said you could take 15, was not saying you could take 15 boxes, it was saying you could take 15 pitchers. And there we're talking about small pitchers that fit 3 to a box. So again, the brisa is just saying, all of them are saying you could take 5 boxes. If you have big pitchers that fit 1 to a box, you take 5 pitchers. If you have pitchers that fit 2 to a box, you could take 10. And if you have pitchers that fit 3 to a box, you could take 15. Ubedkure de harpanya. And so the Gemara answers, the Gemara continues and says, that's like the pitchers from Harpanya were very small and they fit 3 to a box, and therefore you were able to take it in 5 boxes. So the Gemara answers, you have no proof that there's anyone who says, and they're not arguing about whether it's better to have fewer trips or less weight in each trip, but you could make multiple trips because here everyone's talking about the same thing. You could take 5 boxes and you fill it with 1 pitcher, 2 pitchers per box, or 3 pitchers per box. Says the Gemara, Iboy Luhu, another question. Hani arba v'chamish dekamar. When we said you could clear out 4 or 5 boxes, afagav de islay orchin tuva, was that saying your total that you're able to remove from your storehouse is 5 boxes? If you're having 100 guests, you're having 2 guests, you're having 1 guest, it doesn't matter, you could move out 5 boxes. Odilmo, or maybe hakol ufiya orchin. Everything goes according to the number of guests you have. Maybe you're able to clear out 4 or 5 boxes per guest. So if you have 10 guests, you can take out 50 boxes. So the Gemara says, v'imtim silomer hakol ufi ha'orchin, if you're going to say that the 5 box minimum that Chazal allowed you to push yourself, that if you're going to say that's 5 boxes per guest, chad gavra mefani lekulo odumo gavra gavri mefani lenafshe. Let's just see the girsa there. Gavra v'gavra mefani lenafshe. So he says, okay, and if you're going to tell me that you get 5 boxes per person, can one person clear out all those boxes? So if someone's having 4 guests, is he allowed to clear 20 boxes? Or do we say, look, you're allowed 5 boxes per person, but we don't want anyone spending their entire Shabbos schlepping boxes. So one guy can move 5, the second guy can move 5, the third guy can move 5, and the fourth guy can move 5, and you'll get your 20 boxes, but no one person can clear out more than 5. So that's the Gemara's question. If you're going to say that you get 5 boxes per person, can one person clear it out? Or does it have to be 4 people if there are 20 boxes that you're clearing out? So we have 2 questions. Is it 1 per guest or 5 total for Shabbos? And if it's 5 per guest, then can one person do multiples, or is it 5 per guest and a different person needs to carry each one out? Says the Gemara. We are 6 lines up in the thin lines. And the last word in the line. Tashma, come in here. The Amar Rabba Amar Reb Chiya. Rabba said in the name of Reb Chiya, Pamachas halach Rebbe l'makom echad. Once Rebbe went to a certain place, V'ra'a makom dachok l'tamidim. The place that they had established to be the Beis Medrash was cramped, and Rebbe didn't like it. V'yatza l'sada, Rebbe went out to the field, Umatza sadar milei omrim, he found a field that was a nice field where there would be plenty of room for a good base medrash, but it was filled with bundles of wheat or something. The imer Rabbi kola sadar kula. Rabbi gathered the entire field, meaning he cleared out the field. Similar story of Rabbi Yosef Amar Rabbi Hoshaya. Rabbi Yosef said in the name of Rabbi Hoshaya, Pamachas Halof Rabbi Chila Makum Echad. One time this similar story happened to Rabbi Chia, that Rabbi Chia went to a certain place, V'ra Makum Dachal Talmidim, he saw that it was cramped quarters for the Talmidim, V'yatzal Asad, they went out to the field, and Matzah Sadam Leia Omrim, he found the field filled with bundles, V'imer Rabbi Chia Kol Asad Kula, and he cleared out the whole thing. So what do you see from this? Shema Mina Hakol Lufia Archim. So he says, so you see from this that it's five boxes, one measure per person, because they cleared out an entire field worth of bundles. So why were they able to do that? Because you're allowed five bundles per person, and that's why they were able to clear out. They had a bunch of talmidim; they wanted to make room. Rashi points out that since this was a field would be a karmelis. It's not a rishis yachid. It's not a rishis rabbim. So midrabbanan, you're not allowed to move in a karmelis. So they say, okay, they moved it less than dalet amos at a time. Shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. But okay, so in any event, so we see from this that you can clear out five boxes. Our Mishnah's permit of five boxes is five boxes per guest. But says the Gemara, okay, you answered my first question. V'adayin tiboyloch chad gavron m'fani le'lekulo odomo ko gavron m'fani le'nafshe. You didn't answer my question about, we still have a question about whether one person could clear it or each person that one, the, every person can clear five, either for himself or for his friend, but no person can clear more than five. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. I should be able to answer this question. Tashma, come in here. V'imer Rebbe. It said Rebbe gathered all of the bundles in this field and cleared them out. So you see, Rebbe is the one who did it for everyone. So obviously, once there's a permit of five per guest, if you're having four guests, you could clear out 20. The Gemara says, not so fast. U'taymeich. You're telling me that that's how I should understand the Braisa? Rebbe b'dinafshe imer? You think Rebbe is the one who cleared out all these bundles, Rashi says? B'tmiya is a wonder. B'chi orche de nasi b'hachi. Rebbe was the nasi. He was the head of the Jewish people. Well, you think he sat there schlepping bundles? So he says, Ela tziva v'imer. So when it said that Rebbe cleared out the whole thing, it doesn't mean he did it physically. It means he told his Talmidim to clear it out. So there's no proof from that. So in fact, we don't have, he commanded them and they gathered it or cleared it out. But maybe each of his Talmidim did their own thing. So there's no proof from the story with Rebbe or the story with Reb Chiya. So we've answered the first question, which is the Mishnah's permit of five boxes is per guest, but we don't know whether one person can do it or whether each person needs to do it themselves. Okay, continues the Gemara, four lines down in the wide lines. Mefani the Archim, you can clear out boxes for the benefit of guests. Amar Reb Yochanan, some very interesting Agadata coming up, or beautiful Gemaras. Amar Reb Yochanan, Gedol Achnasas Archim, Kashkamas Beis HaMedrash. He says that hosting guests, people who don't have a place to be, is comparable in its greatness to waking up early to go to the Beis Medrash and learn. Why? How do you know? The Ketani, because we learned it on Mishnah, Mipnei Archon, Mipnei Bitol Beis HaMedrash. The Mishnah said two reasons why you're able to clear boxes. One is for guests, and one is for making a Beis Medrash. So you see that there's a parallel, that they're equal to clear out for the Beis Medrash or to have guests. So you see the greatness of Achnasas Archon. Rav Dimi Min Ardayam, Rav Dimi Min Ardayam says, I'll take it a step further. Yoser Me'ashkamas Beis HaMedrash. I'll tell you that hosting guests, Achnasas Archim, is more important than going setting up the Beis Medrash. How do I know? Tikatani mipnei Archim, because our Mishnah chose to put first clearing out boxes for guests, v'hadar mipnei bitul Beis Medrash, and only afterwards it said, could you clear them out for a Beis Medrash? So you see that hosting guests might be, arguably, according to Rav Dimi Min Ardai, is greater than setting up a Beis Medrash. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. G'doy l'achnasas Archim, Me'akpolas Pnei Shechina. Hosting guests, Achnas Archim is more important than greeting the Shechina. The Chsiv, because we know that we have the Pasuk, the Pasuk that's talking when the Rebbeinu Shalom came to visit Avraham Avinu after, after his bris milah, and we says so that he saw the Yishmaelim coming in the distance. Vayomer Adonai, im na matzasichem beinecha, am na savar me'al avdecha. That's the pasuk there. He said, my master, which we see from Tosus. Tosus references the machlokas in Shavuos about whether that was a reference to Hashem or that was what he said to the travelers. But whatever the point was, he says, "Im na matzasichem beinecha, am na savar me'al avdecha." That come, eat with me. So what happened? That Avraham Avinu was in the middle of talking to the Rabbanu Shalom, and he said, Rabbanu Shalom, hold on a minute. I have to go greet my guests. So what do you see? You see that, that it is greater to greet guests even than being the Mekabel Pnei Shechina. And this is, you know, lots of the Mepharshim talk a lot about this. How did Avraham Avinu himself know it? And as we see it from Avraham Avinu, but how did he know it? There's a question about, you know, why is this not a Chil Hashem? So we don't have time to address it now, but there's a beautiful Rav Dessler, Michtam Meirol, who talks about this and says, Kiddush Hashem, Chil Hashem is not really the way we think about it as to what others think of it. It has to do with your internal, motivation and your, it's not motivation. It's a piece worth looking at. But it's an internal matter and judgment. So if his intention, and he says, similar thing with the fact that sometimes we'll sing in order, you know, you're middle davening and you sing to get kavana, or he talks about people shuckle, so it looks like something. That's not how, if you were standing in front of the president, you wouldn't sit there shuckling like that, but people do it for kavana, so he says that's acceptable because it's really an internally focused measure, not what people think of you. But in any event, so this was relevant to this question. How did Avraham Avinu leave the Rabbanu Shalom? But continues the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Elazar, that you should see that the Rabbanu Shalom is not like human beings. Midas Basar V'dam in Katan Yochel Lomer L'Gadol Hamtin Ashava Etzlech. Because if you go to a king amongst Basar V'dam, amongst mortals, you can't go to the king and say, okay, king, wait a minute, I have to take care of something. V'ilu B'Kadosh Baruch Hu K'siv V'yomer Imnam and Tassichein, that we see that Avraham Avinu went and did something. He went and did Achnas Asarchim. So you see that the Rabbanu Shalom, does not have the characteristic of a king. A king wouldn't tolerate this, even if it was for a good reason that a person went. Amr Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shila, Amr Rabbi Asi, Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Yehuda Bar Shila said the name of Rabbi Asi, said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Shisha Dvarim Adam Ochoper, Hussein Bialam Azeva, Kan Kayam Tzolam Abba. There are six things that we can get the peros, the fruits of them in this world, but yet the keren, the principle, the primary reward is there for l'olam haba. Ve'elu hein, these are them. Achnasas archim, that greeting guests, which are or hosting guests, which we talked about before. Ubikur cholim, visiting the sick. Ve'ion tefila, to examine tefila. Vashkamas beis medrash, getting up early to go to the beis medrash. Vamagada banav l'tamot Torah, someone who teaches or raises his children to learn Torah. Vadanis chaver l'kav schos, and someone who is judges his friend on the you know to the good, meaning he looks at circumstances and is gives him the benefit of the doubt. So we have six things that we say you get some reward in this world, and then you get the full reward in the world to come. So ask the Gemara, wait a second, Aini, is this so? We learned in a Mishnah in Peah, if I recall correctly, yeah, in Peah, that Elu Dvarim, this we say in the morning by Birchas HaTorah, Elu Dvarim Shadam Osam, V'ochel Perasim V'yol Mazav, Akan Kayam V'yol Mabav, slightly different language, but these are the things that a person does them, and he eats the pears in this world, and he gets the principle in the world to come. Ve'elu hein, these are them. Kibud av v'aim, honoring our father and mother. Ugmilas chasadim, kind deeds. Va'ava shalom b'ron m'chavero, and bringing peace between people. V'talmud Torah k'neged kulam, and learning is k'neged all of them. Now, you'll notice that what we say in the morning is kind of a conglomeration of these things. But in any event, so it says the Gemara Hani in Midiachrini Lo. So it implies that the Mishnah in Peah tells us there's only four things, and it's a different list. So which is it? Which are the things that a person gets a reward in this world and saves the reward for the world to come? If I could ask whoever G Vista 2 is, if you could just go on mute, it would be great. Thank you. So, I don't think I can do that. Okay. Okay. Again, if whoever Jivista 2 is, if you could go on mute, it would be great. Okay, so continues the Gemara. So the Gemara's question is, we had a list of 6 things that a person can eat the reward in this world, and he gets it in the world to come. And then the Mishnah had only 4, and they're different lists. So the Gemara says, Hani Nami Bahani Shaichi. He says, these 6 really relate to those same 4, that they're all included in the 6 things that were brought are included in the 4 of them, or included, actually, we're going to see from Rashi, in 3 out of the 4 of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah's list is in fact exhaustive, but the 6 that we mentioned fit into it. So let's just take a look at Rashi, the top Rashi, Hani Nami Bahani Shaifi, that these fit in these. So Hachnasas Archim Ubikar Cholam. So the in the list of 6, it says someone who hosts guests. Okay, again, I apologize, but if whoever is G Vista 2, if you could please go on mute. Okay, so it says Rashi, Hachnasas Archim and Bikur Cholim, that both of those, hosting guests and visiting the sick, were in the list of 6, Haini Gemilas Chasadim, that is part of Gemilas Chesed, which was listed in the Mishnah. The Ian Tfilah, and Ian Tfilah, also Haini Bechlau Gemilas Chasadim. Analyzing tefillah is gemilas chesed. It seems Rashi's saying for oneself. The chesed, because Rashi brings the pasuk in Mishlei, gomel nacho ish chesed. That someone who does who does something for himself, and the word nefesh is associated with prayer, is the ish chesed. So you see that Ian tefillah is also included in chesed. Hashkamas beis medrash. So in the brice of 6, we also had waking up early to go to the beis medrash. The Gido Banam with Talmud Torah, someone who raises his children for Talmud Torah, Hainu Talmud Torah, that fits in the category in the Mishnah of Talmud Torah. Donis Chaver L'Kav Schus, and when it said in the Brice of 6 that you should judge your fellow man favorably, that fits, Bechlal Hava Shalom, that brings peace to the world. If you judge people favorably, it brings peace. Why? Says Rashi, Dimitol Shehu Machrio L'Schus, since you choose to judge him favorably and assume well about him, and he said that when it looks like he did something against me, but I'm sure he didn't, Anataya, maybe he was forced by someone to do it, or he thought he was doing me a favor, even if I didn't like it or it didn't play out well, but he judges him favorably. So if someone thinks that way, it brings peace between them. So therefore, the concept of judging someone favorably fits within the category of bringing peace. Rabbi Yochanan, who brought 6 things, Lefarish Lecha Asa, he was coming to explain the Mishnah, the Bechlau Gimel de Masnisin Isnau Lehanach Vav, that in the 3 of the Mishnah, which is Gemilas Chesed, and Havas Shalom Ben Adam Chavero, and Talmud Torah, included all 6 that Rabbi Yochanan brought, Ve'ekonami Lekibur Aveim, Rabbi Yochanan LePoligale, and also the Mishnah listed Rabbi Kibbut Aveim. Rabbi Yochanan wasn't arguing on it by omitting it. He was just clarifying 6 things that fit under 3 out of the 4 in the Mishnah. And of course, Rashi says he also agrees that Kibbut Aveim is good. So therefore, the Mishnah that says 4 things, that's the real story. The 6 that were added by Rabbi Yochanan are clarifications or elaborations on that. And the what we say in the morning is almost, it's kind of a mix between the two. There's, it doesn't include each thing, but it gets pretty close. Okay, so, we're now gonna see some, very interesting stories. Tana Rabbanan. One of the things we mentioned, one of the 6 was if you judge your fellow man favorably. Hadan chaver l'kav schos, dan enotso l'schos. That if someone judges his friend favorably, that they judge him favorably. So it's either just a natural order of the world that people do it, or it's talking about the Rabbanu Shalom. And we'll see that the stories that they seem to say that the Rabbanu Shalom should make sure that someone gets reward for judging people well. There was a story with a person, Sheyard Migalo Elyon. And by the way, some understand that this is a story about Rabbi Akiva, but from before he became Rabbi Akiva, when he was not a Talmud Chacham. But in any event, Rabbi Akiva, or whoever it was, went down, Sheyard Migalo Elyon. He went down from the Galileo, from the Galilee, V'niskar Eitzel Balabayis Echo B'darim. He went to the south of Eretz Yisrael, and he rented himself out. He sold himself or whatever. He got hired by a person in the south, Shalosh Shanim, and he worked for this guy for 3 years. Erev Yom Kippurim. So after 3 years, he wanted to go home to his family for Yom Kippur. So he said to his boss, Amar lo tein li schari, pay me for my work of the last 3 years. And I'll go bring food for my wife and my children. Amar lo, he said to him, ein li mos, I have no money. So Amar lo, so Rabbi Akiva said to the guy he worked for, tein li peros, okay, you don't have money, you don't have money, but give me fruit. Amar lo, ein li, no fruit. So he said, tein li karka, fine, give me real estate. Ein li, I don't have any. Tein li behema, says, how about giving me an animal? Now mind you, he'd been working for this guy for 3 years and knew that the guy had lots of stuff. But the guy says, ein li, I don't have, sorry. Tein li karim miksasais, give me pillows and blankets. So he says, ein li, says, I don't have. So after a while, he's like, look, I'm not getting paid. So it says, hifshil kelev lachlerov, he kind of threw his stuff over his shoulder on his back. Vahalach lebeso, he went to his house, but pachin nefesh. Rashi says, Bedava Nefesh, he was depressed. This was devastating. He worked for 3 years. He wanted to get paid, and the guy said he doesn't have anything. So Achar Regal, after Sukkis, after Yom Tif, Nato Baal Bayis Schara B'Yodo, the Baal Bayis came, took in his hand the payment that he owed Rabbi Akiva for 3 years of work. V'imo Masoi Gimel Chamorim, and he also loaded up 3 donkeys, Echad shamacho, one with food, the echad shamishta, one with drink, the echad shamini megadim, and one with other delicacies or sweet things, v'halach lo lebeso, and he went to visit his former employee, Rabbi Akiva, achad sha'achlu v'shasu, after they ate and drank, nasin lo scharo, he gave him his pay for the full 3 years. Okay, so on Erev Yom Kippur, he didn't give him anything. He said, I don't have. And now after Yom Tov, he comes and pays him everything plus some. So Amar Lo, so this the Baal Bayis said to him, Bishosha Marti Li.
It says 2:30. I mean, that doesn't mean they need 3 o'clock.
I'm sorry, but if someone is not on mute, it's the name G Vista 2. If you could please go on mute.
G Vista 2, please go on mute.
All right. So in any event, so the Baal Bayis said to him, he says, "B'shosha marti li tein li schari v'marti ein li mos v'meches the tani." When you said, "Give me money," and you knew I had money or I used to have money, and I said I have no money, what were you choshed me? What did you suspect me of? So Amarti, he says, Shema Parkamatio Bizul Nizdamnaloch Lakhto Bahen. He says, because I figured maybe, even though I had seen you had money, but maybe someone brought you a steal of a deal where you could buy merchandise for cheap, and that's where your money went. So he says, okay, Ubishasha Martili, when I said to Shamartili, when you said to me, Tamli Behema, give you said you Rabbi Akiva said, give me at least the animals, well Marti, and I said, Ainli. Ainli behema, I have no animals. But mechashatani, what did you think? What did you suspect me of that you knew I used to have animals? So he says, Amarti, Rabbi Akiva said, I said to myself, Shema muskaras biyad acherim, maybe he rented them out to someone else, so he didn't have the animals now. So he says, Bishosha Amarti li, tainli karka, Amarti lcha ainli karka, but mechashatani. So he says, okay, when you said to me, give me land, and I said I had no land, what did you suspect me of? Amarti, he said, I said to myself, Shema muhkeres biyad acherim, then maybe it's muhkar to someone else. What is muhkar? So Rashi explains that this is similar but different than sharecropping. Sharecropping is where someone gives someone a field and says, we're going to split 50-50, 60-40, whatever it is. The Hakira is talking about where you say, you have to pay me 20 kor of produce. If it's a good year and you have lots of produce, so that's a good deal. And if it's a bad year and your crops are gone, you still have to pay him the 20 kor. So it's a higher risk, higher return. But that's just two different ways of structuring. So he said, I thought maybe you basically gave your fields to others to farm them. He says, okay, ubishasha marjilacha ainli peros b'mechash latani. He says, okay. And when I said to you that I don't even have any peros, What did you suspect me of?
Rabbi Kiva says, Amarti, I said to myself, maybe he hadn't taken Meiser, and that's why he couldn't give me payroll. He says, okay, when I said to you, I have no pillows and blankets, what did you suspect me of them? He says, Amarti, Rabbi Kiva said, I said to myself, maybe he was makdish, all his nechasim to Shemayim. So then, Amarle, the Baal Bayis said to him, ha'avoida, by swear by the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, he says, kachaya, so it was, he says, hadarti kol nichsai b'shvil horkinis b'nish le'asik b'torah. He says, I was makdish, all of my possessions because of my son Horkinis, that I saw he wasn't learning Torah, and I didn't want him to have the benefit of my assets, so I was makdish all my assets. He says, but afterwards, of kushabasi etzel chaveirai bedorom, when they remember this Baal Bayis was from the south, he said, when I went to my friends in the south, hitiru li kol nidri, he says, they were matir my nether, so I got back all my fields and my fruits and my pillows and blankets and my money, everything came back to me because they were matir nether. Viata, he said, Baal Bayis said to Rabbi Akiva, kishem shedantani lizchus, that just like you judge me favorably, hamakum yadin oischal lizchus, that the Rabbanu Shalom should also judge you always favorably to give you the favor, to assume the best of the way he's treated. So amazing story with Rabbi Akiva. Continues the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, second medium line. Ma'isa b'chassid echad. There was a story with a certain chassid. Rashi says that any time it says chassid, it's either Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava or Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Loi. But in any event, so one of those two people, a story happened, Shepada Riva Achas Bas Yisrael, that there was a Jewish girl that had been captured. So he redeemed her to get her out of her servitude or capture. Ulamalon Hishkiva Tachas Margalosov. That in the hotel he had her sleep by his feet, so basically she slept in his room. Lemachar in the morning he woke up, yarod v'tavel v'shana l'talmidov, and then he went to the mikvah before he went to teach his talmidim. So this all of this looked like maybe he had done something inappropriate because he slept with this girl in the room. And then in the morning, we know that there was a takana of Ezra, that if someone was a balkari, that before they learn Torah, they have to go to the mikvah. So it surely looked bad. So Amar Lahem, he said to them, Bishashish ki shishkaptia tachas margaloisa b'mechash letani, he says, when I put her to sleep by my feet, what were you choshed of me? So Amarnu, the Talmidim said, Shema yesh banu tamad sheinu badak l'Rebbe. He says, we figured that maybe one of us Talmidim, Rebbe, you hadn't checked enough, and therefore you didn't trust us to have her sleep where we were sleeping, and so therefore, You had her sleep in your own room. Okay, he says, fine. B'shashi yaraditi v'tavalti. So he says, when I went down to sorry. When I went down, when, it says, I got muted, but, I don't know if we missed anything, but okay. So he says, we assumed, Rebbe, that you thought maybe one of us wasn't necessarily checked out and you didn't trust us. So therefore, you had her sleep in your room. He says, okay, fine. But in the morning when I got up and I went down to go to the mikvah, before I would teach you Torah, what were you choshed? What did you suspect me of? Amarnu, they said, Shemim pnei tarech haderech irakeri l'rebi. So he says, as we figured, because sometimes travel, this is a concept you see in the Gemara a lot, that exertion of travel causes someone to have carry, to have an emission. So we assume that's what happened. Obviously they did not suspect that he did something inappropriate with this girl that he had redeemed. So Amar Lahem, so he said to them, Ho avoda kach, kachoya, he says, by the avoda, I swear that in fact Kata was, that in fact, he didn't trust the Talmidim fully, and the fact that he had to go to the mikvah was because he had a seminal emission, but had nothing to do with acting inappropriately with this young woman. And he said to them, Atem, and you, the Talmidim, Kishem Shedan Tuni Lekavschus, Hamokum Yodin Eskam Lekavschus. That just like you judge me favorably, the Rabbanu Shalom should judge you favorably. Continue the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Pam Achas Hutzrech Davar Echad, the Talmide Chachamim, Itzo Matronisa Achas, Shekol Gedoli Rami Mitzuyin Atzla. So he says, one time, the Talmide Chachamim needed something from a woman who all of the, important people of Rome used to be found by her, which is Rashi says a Nachres, that, she was a woman and maybe that many people frequented her house was not a house of high repute. Amru, so the Chachamim needed someone to go to her. So they said, Mi Elech, who's gonna go? Amr Lehem, Rabbi Yeshua, Ani Elech. Rabbi Yeshua said, I'll go. So Halach, Rabbi Yeshua, but Talmidav. Rabbi Yeshua went to visit this woman in Rome with his Talmidim. Kivan Shegiel Pesach Besa, when he reached the door of her house, Cholatz Tfilov, Berichuk Arba Amos, V'nechnas. He took off his tefillin 4 amos from her door and he went in. V'nol hadelos bifneim. And he locked the door in front of his talmidim. So he was now inside with this woman and the talmidim were outside. Acher sheyatza, he came out of her house. Yorad v'tavo v'shanol talmidav. He went down to the mikvah and only afterwards he taught his talmidim. V'amar lahem, he said to them, wait, b'shashachatzati tefillin, so he says, before I went into your house, when I took off my tefillin, why did you think I did that? What did you suspect I was doing? Amar, the Talmidim said, Kisavar Rabbi, la yichnasu divrei kedusha b'makom tuma. He says, we figured that you didn't want your tefillin, which is a davar shebe kedusha, to go into this makom tuma, this place of this woman's house, which was not an appropriate place. He said, okay, b'shash na'alti, when I locked the door and kept you on the outside, b'mechash datuni, what did you suspect me of? Amarnu, they said, shema dvar malchus yesh bo nelebeina. He says, maybe you had some important matter of the kingdom between you and her. And Rashi says, v'tzarech la'alimo, it needed utmost confidentiality. It was a secret matter. So he says, okay, b'shashi iraditi v'tavalti b'mechash datuni. At the time, I came out from her house and I immediately went to go to the mikvah before I would talk and teach you Torah. What did you think? They said, Amarni, they said, Shemen nitza tzinoira mipio al begadav shel Rabbi. So he says, we thought that maybe some of her spit ended up on Rabbi. And Rashi points out, rogue spit, he says, begazra al nachem shi kizavim l'chol devrayim. That, there was a gzera from, we learned it earlier in Shabbos, that on Gayim, that you treat them, their emissions, like the emissions of a Zava. And since a Zava, so this woman, they said, we thought maybe some of her spit ended up on you, and that's why you went to the mikvah. So Amar Lahem, he said to them, Ha Avoda Kachaya, he says, I swear by the Avoda that in fact that's how it was, that the reason I took off my tefillin is I didn't want my tefillin in a makom tuma. I locked the door because it was an important secret matter. And the fact that I went to the mikvah was because some of her spit ended up on me, not because it did anything inappropriate. The atem and you, keshen shadan tuni l'schus, hamakum yodin eskam l'schus. Just like you judged me for the benefit, the Rabbanu Shalom should judge you for schus. Okay, second wide line of the widest lines. Mefanen shumatara. So remember the structure of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said you could clear out 4 or 5 boxes, and then it gave a bunch of examples of things you can clear out versus ones you can't clear out. And the difference is the ones that you can clear out are not muksa, and the ones you can clear out are not muksa, and the ones that you cannot clear out are ones that are muksa. So the Mishnah gave a whole list. So we're going to walk through some of them and say, well, some of them are obvious. What's the point? So the Gemara says, Mefanin Truma Torah, it says you could do Tar Truma. Says the Gemara, Pshita, that it's obvious. Tar Truma is something that someone can feed his animals, because a Kayin can feed even his animals Truma. So what's the Chiddush of that? So the Gemara says, Lotzricha, the Mancha Biyad Yisrael. Because we're talking about Truma, and it's Truma that's still Tar, but it's still in the hands of the Yisrael, because Yisrael grows produce, He designates truma. He has to give it to a kohen, but it's still sitting by the Yisrael. Mao de te mai might have thought keeping the lechazilei aser. I might have thought that since when Shabbos started, it was sitting by Yisrael. Yisrael is not allowed to eat truma. He hasn't given it to a kohen. So kamash malon keeping the chazil kohen shaper dummy. So he says that since it is roi, it's grain that's usable for a kohen to feed his animal. So therefore, it's not muksa, shaper dummy. And if you want to move it, now obviously he can't use it to feed his own animal because he already designated it as truma. But he's allowed to move it because it's not muksa, because since the kohen, even though it's not in the possession of the kohen right now, but since the kohen theoretically could eat it, therefore it's not muksa. The Mishnah continues, said demai. So we know demai is, the halacha is that if an amaretz sells food or gives food to someone who's a chaver, who's a talmid chacham, that they would take additional separation maaseros, because the amaratzim were makbid on truma, but they weren't careful about maaseros. So the idea is that until you separate maaseros, that you cannot eat it. So the Gemara says, "Demai halo chazilei." But wait a second. Why is it that you're allowed to move five boxes of demai? At the end of the day, demai should be muksa because it's still in a state equivalent to tevel. Tevel is when nothing's been separated from it. Midaraisa. Demai is midrabanan out of suffix, but it's like tevel. It's not something, so therefore it should be muksa. So Gemara says, no. Why is it not muksa? Because kivan di iboi mafkerlele nachse v'have ani v'chazile. He says because maybe he would be mafker his nechasim, and then he would become an ani. And if he were to do that, it would be appropriate for him to eat the mai. Why? Because Rashi explains that Chazal made a takana, which was only the majority of amaratzim did trumas and maisers, but there was a significant minority who did not do maisers. You could theoretically rely on rov. So the chachamim felt that if we're dealing with a poor person, he's going door to door and collecting money, we don't want to preclude him from being able to collect food. We don't want to preclude him from being able to go to the house of an Amun Haaretz. So therefore, we'll rely on the Rov Midaraisa to say he could eat it. And an Ani, a poor person, is allowed to eat Demai. So says the Gemara, the reason the person can move five boxes of demai is because theoretically, if he wanted to be mafker his nechasim, to make his nechasim ownerless, he would then be a poor person. If he's a poor person, he'd be able to eat demai. So since there's an element to which he could eat it if he wanted to do that, so therefore, it's not muksa and he can move it on Shabbos. Hashanami chazilehi. Now also, even though he hasn't been mafker his nechasim, it's appropriate to him, and therefore it's not muksa. We've encountered this a number of times, this non, because we learned in a Mishnah, which is a Mishnah that's brought in many cases, in brachos, in demai, in erevin, in psachim, sukkah, so we see it lots of times. Machilin es aniyim demai, vesach sanya demai, that we feed an ani demai, and also achsanya. Achsanya is a reference to soldiers. Rashi says, Chayal Shemelch Yisrael, this is the army of a Jewish king, Umatila b'nei ha'ir that when the Jewish king would send forth his army, the way it would work is whatever town they were going through, there's a word for this, I forget in English, Michael probably knows. But when the king basically demands that you feed his soldiers. So the soldiers also can get demai. Why can the soldiers get demai? So actually, you don't see it in Rashi here, but if you look at Masoras HaShas, it explains that he had a Gerson Rashi that since the soldiers are not in their homes, so even if at home they're wealthy, right now they're on the road with no food, so they're just like an ani, so they're allowed to eat it. Similarly, that we see there's also machlokas beisham beis hillel on the same point, that beishamai says you cannot feed demai even to an ani or to soldiers. Beis hillel says machlokas beisham beis hillel on the same point, that you can in fact
feed the mai to an ani or to a soldier. So that's the chiddush of our Mishnah when it says you can move the mai, is because even though theoretically it's kind of like tevel, if he were to be mafkir all his nechasim, he would be relevant to eating the mai, and therefore it's not muksa. Continues the Gemara, umaisa rishon shenitlo chumaso. So let's just, because to understand this next Gemara, although this is Gemara also we've encountered many times, but just to review, when a person grows crops, the way it works is that first he should, and Rashi says, brings the pasuk, mle'eschav dimacha lo sa'acher, so the first thing you should bring is your bikurim. After bikurim, you should take truma. So bikurim is the fruits that you bring to the Beis HaMikdash. Then you give truma. Truma is 1/40th, 1/50th, or 1/60th, depends how generous the person is, but roughly, let's call it average, 1/50th, which is 2%. So if someone grew 100 bushels, they should give 2 to the kayin. They're left with 98. After that, they should give 10% of what's left to the levi. So that's 9.8. That's meiser rishon. Now, once the levi gets his 9.8, bundles or whatever it is, then he is supposed to give 10% of that to the kayin. So that's called trumas meiser. So now, says the Gemara, our Mishnah said that one of the things that's mutter to move is meiser rishon shenitla trumaso. So the Gemara assumes that when it says that, pshita, so that means that its truma was taken, and its truma was taken. So the Gemara says, and lo tzricha shekdimu b'shibolim v'not lo himena trumas meiser v'lo not lo himena truma gedoyla. So he says, no, the chiddush of the Mishnah was the following case. Generally speaking, as we said before, that you have to offer truma, first you do bikurim, then you do truma, then you do meiser. And in fact, as Rashi points out, that if someone were to go out of that order, he would get malchus, he's doing something wrong. But when does that order take effect? That order takes effect only at the point that the produce becomes relevant to becoming to having a chiyuv of trumas and maisers. And when does that happen? It says reishis de gancha, when it becomes dagon. Dagon is grain. The Gemara, we figured out that what does it mean, at what stage in production does something get the title of grain? It is once you've done all of the reaping and harvesting and winnowing and whatever, and you put it in a pile, and you smooth out the pile, called miruach hakri, the smoothing out of the pile. At that point, it becomes mechuyev in trumas and maisers. So what happened here? The Levi went to the Balabayas, who was growing the things, and he said, before you get to miruach hakri, before it's mechuyev in truma, give me my trumas maiser. Give me my 10%. Now, why did he do this? Because if he were to take 10% at this point, so there's 100 bushels, he would get 10. Versus if the first goes to the kayin, gets his 2% first, then he's only getting 9.8. So he went to the Baal Bayis and said, give me my 10, and the Baal Bayis went ahead and did it, right? So the halacha is that we're going to see in a second, but the halacha is that he no longer has to give truma gedola to the kayin, and as long as he gives trumas meiser to the kayin, which is 10% of his 10, so he gives him one bushel, at that point, it is considered that he can eat it regularly, and therefore it's not muksa. So the Gemara is explaining that it's telling us it's not muksa, even though this Levi went ahead and in a sense gypped the Kohen out of some of his truma. So that's what the Gemara says. V'chihad amr v'avo amr reish lakish, Meiser Rishon shekdumo b'shibolin, that if someone, a Levi, took his Meiser Rishon, his 10%, but he did it at a point when it's still in its casing, but mean before miruach hakri, before he smoothed the pile, pater mi truma gedola, he's pater from truma gedola. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, this is the pasuk in Bamidbar. It says, "Vel alviim to daber, you should speak to the leviim, vel martalim, and say to them, ki sikhu me eis bnei Yisrael as a maser asher nasati lochem me itam benachlaschem." He says, when you take from Bnei Yisrael the Meiser that I give you from them as your nachla, as your inheritance, v'harei mosem mimenu trumas Hashem, you should remove or elevate or take from it truma Hashem Meiser mina Meiser, that you should take Meiser on your Meiser. So it means you get Meiser from a Jew and you should give Meiser on that to the coin, which is trumas Meiser. So he says, Maiser min a maiser at amarti l'chov lo truma gadol or trumas maiser min a maiser. He says you're only obligated to give one maiser from your maiser, which is trumas maiser, and therefore you don't have to give truma to the kohen. You would only give him your maiser, but he's basically been gypped out of his truma because you snuck ahead and did it when it was still in the shibolin. So wait a sec. So Gemara says amalei Rapapa said to Abaya, wait a second. If it's true that it's okay that he gypped out the coin because it says Maiser min ha-maiser v'lo truma gadola Maiser min ha-maiser. He says, Yochi, afilo dimo v'kri nami lifter. He says, well, wait a second. But then even if the, why are we saying that if the Pasuk says the Levi only needs to give one Maiser and not Maiser and Truma, so then why are you distinguishing if he does it before it's in a pile or after? Even if it's already in a pile, he takes it, and he goes ahead and takes his 10% before the guy gave Truma to the Kayin. I'm gonna say he doesn't owe it because the Pasuk says you give one Maiser, not Truma and Maiser from your Maiser. So he said, Amarleh, he said back to him, Alecha, Makra, people who think like you, the Pasuk says that if it already was, Meruach HaKri, if it already was in the pile, he says, the Pasuk says, we have another Pasuk that says, Mikol Matnosechem Torimu. So this is the Pasuk, a few psukim later, which says, Mikol Matnosechem Torimu Eis Kol Trumas Hashem, that all of the Trumas Hashem, which seems to imply that there's an instance in which you give more than your regular Trumas Meiser, Kol Trumas Hashem, all Trumas Hashem. So you see that there's a pasuk that says you give more than just one Meiser. So the Gemara says, okay, so all you've proven to me is one pasuk says you only give Meiser but not Truma Meiser, and one pasuk says you give both. So why did you assume one is once it's Chayev and Truma, and one when it's not Chayev and Truma? Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe that once it becomes Mechuyev and Truma, you no longer need to give Truma to the Kayan and you just give Truma's Meiser. And maybe if you do it beforehand, then you have to give both. So the Gemara says, Hai Idgon v'hai lai Idgon. He says it doesn't make sense that, in other words, it makes sense that if the Levi went ahead and chopped it before it became Mechuyev in Truma, that he no longer has to pay the Truma. Why? Because the halachas Rashi says, "V'tala alav chovas truma." I'm sorry, "V'chala alav chovas truma." That when do you become mechuyev in truma? Dechsev reishes degancha. That when it becomes dagon, hilkach tishakla Levi. That if a Levi takes it once it's become dagon, once it's become mechuyev in truma, boya duri lekoin treimi meir shebo. He needs to give the kain the 2% that he gypped him out of bereisha. And then he gives him 1/10, just as if the Jew would have given to the Kayan first, and then the Levi. He says, so therefore, if I have one pasuk that says I'm going to need to give Trumas Meiser and Truma Gedola, and I have another pasuk that says I only give Trumas Meiser, so we'll assume that the Truma Gedola only applies once the Chiyuv of Truma Gedola takes effect, which is after it's in a pile. But if the Levi were to take it beforehand, it would be before the Chiyuv of Truma kicked in, and therefore the Levi does not have to give Truma Gedola, and the Kohen is essentially gypped out of his Truma Gedola. But in any event, all of this is to say that when our Mishnah said, Meiser Rishon Shenotla Trumaso, that you're allowed to carry 5 boxes of Meiser Rishon, that this Truma was taken, is a reference to where the Levi went ahead and took it, before the Chiyuv of Truma kicked in, and he gives the kain Trumas Meiser, but he doesn't give him Truma Gedola, as is the halacha of Rebbe Avo. So that's the case of the Mishnah, is telling you that's why it's not obvious, is because even though he went ahead and did this thing, and he gypped the kain out of it, it's still not Muksa, and he's allowed to clear 5 boxes on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Meiser Sheni, the Mishnah said, that you can carry Meiser Sheni and Hektish that were redeemed. So ask the Gemara, Pshita, it's obvious that if we know Meiser Sheni is during the first, second, fourth, and fifth year, you take it up to Yerushalayim, or you put it on money, and the Hektish is something that was given to Hektish, that if you pay for it, it becomes no longer, the money gets Kedusha, and then the object is no longer Kaddish. So what's your Chiddush to tell me that I could clear out 5 boxes of this grain that was Meiser Sheni or was Hektish, but now it's been redeemed? That's obvious. The Gemara says, Lo Tzricha, Shenasem Ezakarim, Lo Nasem Ezachomesh. that we're dealing with a case where he gave the keren, he did not give the chomesh. I'll explain what that means in a second. Hakamash Malan, this tells us the ain chomesh ma'akiv, that the payment of the fifth does is not ma'akiv. So, if I have a book, and it's worth $100, and I give it to the Beis HaMikdash, then if you want to redeem it from the Beis HaMikdash, you pay them $100, and Hekdash gives you the book. If I'm the one who wants to redeem it, then I have to pay a chomesh, which is $25. I pay $125 to redeem my own book. If it was some fruits that were eligible for Meiser, and I want to redeem them myself, I want to redeem those fruits myself, $100 worth of fruits, I have to redeem them plus a chomesh. So the Mishnah, when it tells us that you can move a box of produce that's been redeemed from the Beis HaMikdash, or has been redeemed from its status as Meiser Sheni, it's telling me, even if I paid, I redeemed it for myself, so I owe $125 for Meiser Sheni, or I owe the Beis, or I have to pay the Beis HaMikdash $125. If I paid the Beis HaMikdash $100, so then the produce is released. At that point, I can eat the produce, and therefore I can move five boxes on Shabbos. The fact that I owe Hekdish $25 for the Chomesh, okay, I have to pay it to Hekdish, but it doesn't affect the status of the Tvua. And last thing, says the Mishnah, one of the things that we said in the Mishnah was the Tormis Hayavesh, that if you give dried Tormis, now Tormis is a bean, I think is generally how it's understood, that you have to cook it a lot in order for it to become soft, but even in its dry form, you can still move it on Shabbos. It's not mukzah. Why? Mipnei shu maicho le'izim, because it's something that got fed to the goats. So the Gemara says dafka yavesh. We're talking specifically about a dry tormes bean. Avolach lo. But if it would be, and our the Mishnah was specific when I said dry. If it would be wet, if it would be a moist bean, a fresher bean, then you would not be able to move it on Shabbos five boxes. Why? Says the Gemara, my time akivin the marir lo achlo. Since when it's in its wet form, it's very bitter, and even the goats aren't going to eat it. So if even the goats aren't going to eat it, so then it has no purpose, and it's muks on Shabbos, and this concept that we gave you permission to carry five boxes, is only talking about when it's edible, it's not muktzah. And since this is not edible to humans, it's not even edible to goats, so then therefore it's going to have a status of muktzah, and you don't get this permit to carry five boxes. Okay, Shavuot Tov.